Once a month, we hear what it is like to live with mental illness here on the Jefferson Exchange. Our guides are the people of Southern Oregon Compass House in Medford. It's built on the clubhouse model of community mental health care. It is a place where people with persistent mental illness come together to support each other and their shared place. This month's focus on Compass Radio diagnosis. Dealing with mental illness is made that much harder by not knowing what kind of mental illness is causing the issues. Clubhouse member Kathleen told her story to Bryce Harding.
You said you first got your diagnosis 18 years ago?
Yeah, that's when my mom passed away. 6 months after she passed away, I, you know, went into a real bad emotional thing because my dad passed away before she did, and that's been 20 years since my mom's been gone and 22 years since my dad's been gone.
How long had you been living with symptoms before you got your diagnosis?
I would say probably for quite a few years, because when I remember growing up as a teenager, I had a lot of depression within me and not really sure of things. And my parents were a lot older when I was born, so I was kind of like raised like an only child. And for a long time, I felt real lonely as a teenager. It was hard to get me out of depressed moods, and I felt like I, you know, couldn't make any good friends at that time when I was in junior high and then later going to high school and everything. So that was a tough part of my life, too, being a teenager.
What was it like living as an adult with a mental illness that you didn't know you had?
Well, it was hard, but unfortunately I got into using hard drugs in my early 20s, like the meth, and I haven't done that for 21 years now, the meth. I've been clean from it, and it seems like when I get real depressed or something and wanted, I would run back to the drugs to keep me going, keep me high, but that's not the right way to go. It's just going to make things a lot worse, which it did for me. It took me almost all of my 20s to, you know, come to terms with that.
You said you started using meth to help you deal with being depressed. How did your mental illness lead you to using meth?
Well, I didn't start going into bars till I was 21, and being so depressed as a teenager even till I was 21, I thought, well, I'm just going to go in a bar and hang out and see what happens. And unfortunately, I got, you know, kind of roped in by drug dealers and started doing that with them, and I just got real addicted for a long, long time. And it was real hard to get over that.
So what was that time like after you started having these symptoms, but before you got your diagnosis?
It was hard, very hard. You know, not knowing if I'm ever going to get help, if, you know, somebody, you know, I was just praying, you know, that somebody could help me, you know, over with some, do something for me to overcome these feelings. Because they're feelings that are hard to deal with. And I was just hoping, praying one of these days somebody could help me. But I went for many years after that, you know, like an emotional rock and roll. It was just that way. It's just the way I felt.
So did you get the feeling that something was wrong? Did you think it was normal to be feeling that way?
No, I knew something was wrong. I knew it couldn't be normal to feel that way. Because at that time, it was pretty devastating to me. And I knew, you know, myself, I couldn't really pinpoint it, you know. But it was very, very difficult.
Do you feel like you had people to talk to about it when you were younger?
No, that was another hard thing. It was hard to find people at school to talk to. And my parents, it was real hard to talk to them because they'd already pretty much raised my brothers and sisters. And I came along in a period where, you know, drugs and all that was a thing. And then when they were growing up, it wasn't like that. It was totally different. So I felt, man, I can't even talk to my parents about this. They're not going to understand.
You mentioned your mom's death is why you went and started getting treatment for the first time.
I was taken to 2 North. 2 North, they named it at that time. It's the mental health facility at the Rogue Valley Hospital where people, if they get real bad mentally wise, you know, with like their medications or not taking them, or if they're getting too far gone, the 2 North was a place where they have doctors and nurses and people who would help you deal with that and make sure your meds are okay. They would try to get you stabilized, but if they see they're not doing it, then they'll send you to a state hospital where they're more on top of things rather than they are there, so that's what happens. I got sent up to a state hospital in Salem many years ago, the old hospital, and I was in my 20s. Then last year for 7 months I was in state hospitals because when my husband passed away, everything, you know, just kind of hit me all at once and I couldn't deal with anything.
What was it like coming out the first time? Because after that first visit, it sounds like things got really difficult.
Well, they did because at that time, because I had been doing drugs for recovery, where it just alters your, you know, mind. And, you know, I was in there like four different times in my 20s, and I spent like 6 months in there at a time. And every time I would come back out, it was like nothing was really resolved. And then probably for a year or two, I quit taking it, any kind of medication, because I didn't want to go to mental health. But somehow I ended up at Jackson County Mental Health again, and I had a case manager who was my case manager for many years, and she tried to keep me on medication, but the medication where I'd go see the psychiatrist was never the right medication. It just made things really a lot worse. Like being on lithium and risperidone, I can't take that medication. It just makes me way too shaky, way too shaky.
A couple people have talked to me in interviews and just in conversation about how getting on the right medications can be kind of a long process, mm-hmm. and it can be very difficult with a lot of different side effects. Could you talk about your experience with that?
Well, basically, I haven't really had any bad side effects. The new medication that I've been on now since last May of last year has really helped balance my mind and pretty much kept me at an even keel instead of being either real manic or real depressed, kind of leveled me out in the middle. I mean, I don't feel manic anymore. Sometimes I'll feel real depressed.
So you just got on a new medication that you say is a big help.
Mm-hmm.
And that was within the last year or so?
Yes.
But you had started taking medications in your 20s.
Right.
That's a long span.
That is a long span, yeah.
Do you know if that's typical?
With people? No, not really. A lot of people, if they start taking meds in their when they're that young in their 20s, a lot of people stay on different meds, maybe sometimes either working for them or not working for them, and then they just have to go through more bad experiences, maybe till they get help that they finally, you know, could figure out what to do for a person.
And what was that kind of period of trial and error with trying different medications like?
It was hard. You know, because like I say, I will name them, because like lithium and risperidone make a person shake, and it was really bad for me. And my care provider, you know, took me down to see my psychiatrist at the old mental health, said she's got to be off these medications. She's just shaking way too much, and I have to help feed her, which she did, because I was just so rockety. So she finally got it to where I was on help trying to get on a different medication, but it took me going back to the state hospital last year this time to finally get me on the right medication. And it's a big, huge difference. It's a big, big help.
That is Kathleen telling her story of mental illness to Bryce Harding at Southern Oregon Compass House in Medford. This is Compass Radio on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. We're joined in studio now by Elizabeth Hazelwood, the executive director at Southern Oregon Compass House. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, thank you for having
us. And Linda joins us as well, a clubhouse member who we've heard from in previous programs. Linda, good to have you here, too.
Thank you.
Let's get an example first or an idea first from Elizabeth. I mean, the stories of Kathleen this month and John last month are rather similar, and I just wonder how constant an issue it is that people are not getting the right diagnoses.
It's more constant than not, actually. Most of our members struggle for years before finding their way.
Linda, what was your story? I mean, how long did it take when you were dealing with things to finally have somebody say, you know, it's this, it really is this, and have that be true?
In about 2006,
mm-hmm.
when I got diagnosed.
Mm-hmm. After how many years or months? I mean, how long a time before that of not knowing what it was?
Since I was in third grade.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, so it's a good long time in your life. And then how have things been for you since 2006?
A lot better.
Mm-hmm. In what sense? What things changed?
I took peer support, and I have the moral support with Compass House and other people in the community.
So Compass House, we've talked about, is a place for people with persistent mental illness. Persistent can mean a whole range of things. I mean, is there some sort of average of, you know, whether people have flare-ups weekly, monthly, whatever?
It's really individualized. Some people will have some uh, an an episode where they have symptoms once and not have it reoccur the rest of their lives. Other people, it's a constant daily battle, and our members run the gamut of that.
So, Linda, I wonder how much, you know, there's always stigma still with mental illness, as much as we talk about it, certainly here and around society more these days. I mean, was that part of the issue for you in seeking help and getting help?
Well, I didn't understand about mental illness when I was younger until I got older.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the diagnosis, and then I found as I approached different resources that are out there to get the help.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't even, it wasn't something that you had thought you were having?
No.
No. Okay. And so, yeah, Elizabeth.
And that's something that is very, very common, and it's something that we hear from almost everybody, is that everybody feels that they're completely alone in this struggle. And that's why breaking the stigma is so important. When you are first dealing with symptoms and you feel like you're the only person in the world that's going through this, it's terrifying. So we need to make sure that everyone understands that you are not alone, that this is very common. 1 in 4 people will have some sort of symptom of mental illness in their lifetime.
1 in 4.
1 in 4. And that's diagnosed.
Mm-hmm. All right, so not just an assumption, not somebody extrapolating numbers. This is diagnosed.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So fear, it seems like, is going to be part of any situation, fear of being found out, or fear of like, oh my God, I've got this thing that I can't tell anybody about.
Right, absolutely.
So by the time people come to Compass House, they've got diagnoses in hand. They're usually getting treatment, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And how helpful is the system to you, Linda? I mean, when you come into Compass House, what are the things you do when you're there?
I keep pretty busy.
Doing what?
Everything. Whatever they need. I help Elizabeth, Chris, multiple of the staff. If they need something, I'm there to do it. As long as I keep busy, I know I can't focus on what I can't do, but what I can do.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I've noticed about the clubhouse model in talking to you and then in visiting 2 weeks ago when you had the open house, because you're moving to a new place in Medford. We'll talk about that in a moment, too. But that there really are no staff-only spaces at Compass House.
Absolutely. And that's the whole point. Everything is done side by side. Linda was not being she's not telling everything that she did. Linda literally writes daily newsletters. She writes monthly newsletters. She enters data. She enters attendance. She cooks lunch. She works reception. She does presentations. She writes grants. All of these things she does. And none of those things had she done a year ago.
What made the difference?
Having the support system.
Just having Compass House be there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so did you have all these skills before? Did you just pick them up as you went along?
I probably had them, and I just didn't realize I had them.
Mm-hmm. You really had a chance to let yourself out of a tight space, it sounds like, to let yourself blossom a bit.
Yeah.
So let's talk about a couple of other things involving mental illness. And I bring these up because we are, in fact, as a society, talking about mental illness now more, not always for the good reasons, though, because it involves things like school shootings, like the one in Florida. And of course, with several recent incidents, it's been like that, where we talk about, well, let's deal with mental illness before we deal with guns. And I just wonder, A, do you have that discussion at Compass House much? And B, what direction does it tend to go?
We do. One of those things is that we talk about things openly and honestly. And I think Linda hit on a very good point of getting education out there. When people are going through, when they're most likely to get their diagnosis, there's not education in our school systems about what to look for. Our parents don't know what to watch for in their kids. And that's what needs to happen. Everybody needs to know what signs and symptoms. Everybody needs to realize that these are common and normal, and that how to deal with those situations before they turn into a crisis state.
Is the normal move for more people just to disengage? It's like, well, I don't know what's up with her. I can't deal with her right now. And they just move away.
I think people are terrified. They don't. Nobody wants to think that there might be something wrong with themselves, with their family, with their loved ones. And if it's something that's unknown, it's our instinct to just kind of push it back. And that's why education is so important in our schools, in our daily conversation, breaking stigma down.
So it was interesting to see, too, not just from the school shooting perspective, but also seeing mental illness discussed on the sports pages. Kevin Love, who is originally from Oregon, is a member of the Cleveland Cavaliers in the NBA. He wrote an essay for the Players Tribune about having a panic attack earlier in the season and admitted to thinking more deeply about mental illness ever since. And this is after another NBA player, DeMar DeRozan of the Toronto Raptors, was talking about it. So it seems like this can only help that people begin to at least get it out. It's like, you know, it happens to guys who do all kinds of things and people you look up to, not just the people you look down upon.
Exactly. And the more people that tell their story and come out about their personal struggles with mental illness, the more people will feel like it is safe to do so. And that is exactly what needs to happen.
It seems like there have been, in many cases, to the Mike Wallace, for example, from 60 Minutes years ago, talking about his bouts with depression and other people generally in the entertainment business. But it never seems to get we never seem to get the rest of the iceberg. We seem to be dealing with the tip a lot.
Absolutely. And there have been movements. Diagnoses like depression and anxiety are much more common now. People talk about those on a pretty regular basis. It needs to be talked about every day. It needs to be talked about in every setting and normalized. When we look at things like breast cancer, that is a conversation that people felt kind of taboo about for a long time. But now it's something that people talk about. They feel comfortable about it. They understand how important it is to take care of themselves. And mental health needs to be treated the same way.
I'm glad I had a chance to get over and see you guys in person at the Compass House Open House 2 weeks ago. So it's a very impressive new place you're looking to put together. How is the process going?
Wonderfully. We secured over $30,000 in donations at that event. Part of that is that we have two donors that have come together to offer matching funds to our community. So up to $10,000 that is donated will be matched dollar for dollar by our two donors. So please, if you're thinking about giving, think about Compass House.
All right. And so, Linda, what do you think about the new digs over there?
I can't wait because it's too crowded in the old place.
What, are you tripling your size? Is that it?
Yes, absolutely, thankfully.
Okay. And when do you think you might be able to move into
the... We're hoping to be in by July 1st, 2019.
Okay. So a while yet to go.
Yes.
Maybe before Southern Oregon Compass House moves essentially across the street in Medford. Good to have you both here to talk to us in Compass Radio once again. Elizabeth Hazelwood, the Executive Director at Southern Oregon Compass House. Linda, a member, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Thank you to Bryce Harding and to Kathleen for giving us the recorded piece that came with this week's event.